ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सिक्स्थ कैंटो फर्स्ट चैप्टर टेक्स्ट 32। ऊचु निषेदितास्तांस्ते वैवस्वत पुरः शरः केयूयं प्रतिषेधारो धर्मराजस्य शासनम्। उचूर निषेध बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस ए सी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की। When the order carriers of Yamaraj, the son of the sun god, were thus forbidden, they replied, Who are you, sirs, that have the audacity to challenge the jurisdiction of Yamaraj? Purport. According to the sinful activities of Ajamil, he was within the jurisdiction of Yamaraj, the supreme judge appointed to consider the sins of the living entities. When forbidden to touch Ajamil, the order carriers of Yamaraj were surprised because they had never been hindered in the execution of their duty by anyone within the three worlds. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnana. Hare Krishna. I seek the blessings of all the devotees present so that I can be empowered to do the service of speaking from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, today's purport, Srila Prabhupada is just giving a 5-line purport. It's not much he's giving here. So, in the text, you see, in the translation of the text, we see that the order carriers, the son of sun god, were thus forbidden, and they replied, Who are you sons, who are you sirs that have the audacity to challenge the jurisdiction of Yamaraj, the son of the sun god? So, dharma rajasya shasanam. So the Yamdutas, Vishnudutas, are being informed by them that the world is being controlled and overseen by the Dharmaraj, Dharmaraj Shasanam. So I was just seeing the conversation of Srila Prabhupada. There Prabhupada writes, because he was speaking to such an audience, he writes about how the world is not without any controller, as the modern scientists think. Shasana means being controlled. That means the world is being controlled at every instant. So Prabhupada, he quotes Brahma Samhita, Yakchakshuresha savita sakala grahanam raja samastamo suramurti rashesha teja. That how the sun is actually compared to the eyes of the Lord, sun and the moon. And under the instruction, yas agnaya brahmati samvrita kala chakru. They are moving around by the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Lord is observing, he's seeing the movements of all the living entities within this world. So it is foolish to assume, the Shastras say, that it is actually being controlled, we are being observed at every instant, at every moment. And the scientist is saying just the opposite. Scientist is saying just the opposite, that there is no God. There's no, everything came from a big bang, a chunk, and a black hole. So we see in the future verses that how the Yamadutas themselves are mentioning to Vishnudutas. He's saying, Suryognikham Maruddevaha Soma Sandhyahani Dishaha Kam Kuhu Swayam Dharma Iti. They're saying, Suryo Agni Kham Marut Devaha, that the sun, Agni, the fire, Kham, the sky, Marut, the air, Deva, the demigods, Soma, the moon, Sandhya, the evening, Ahani, day and night, come, water and ku, the land, they are all, and swayam dharma iti, the Lord himself are actually witnessing all the activities of the living entities. So this is a proof that actually we are being observed, we are being constantly checked. A track has been kept on all of us. In the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, Samam pashyan hi sarvatra, samam pashyan hi ishvaram, na hinasti atmana atmanam, tato yati param gatim. So here in this text it is said that the person who actually sees all the souls in an equal vision and who sees that the super soul is present equally in all living beings, he does not contaminate himself by his mind. Na hinastyatmanatmano. Within his mind, he does not degrade himself. Why? Because he knows that the Lord is watching him. He's being observed at every instant. So he's careful. So this is quite contrary to the common understanding. Like once Srila Prabhupada was asked, what do you think about black holes? And I presume Srila Prabhupada said, yes, there are black holes, but in the brains of the scientists. Because it's so foolish to assume that the whole universe has come about through a black hole or a big bang, a chunk. It doesn't really make sense. It's easier to have faith on the theory that everything has come from an intelligence rather than from nothing. So Srila Prabhupada really condemns this modern atheistic scientist proposition that world has come from nothing. And we say the world has come from something very intelligent, just the opposite. And there are very many opposites of what scientists say. You know, scientists say that today man has evolved in their understanding of the universe. Previously there was Stone Age man. And the Shastra says just the opposite. That previously in Satyuga, the people were very intelligent. And the people today have become degraded. The Kali Yuga is the worst of all the yugas. The scientists say that time is linear. The Shastras say time is cyclic. Satyug, Treta Yuga, Dwapar, Kali, Satyug, Treta, Dwapar, Kali. It goes on repeating like that. So we see that the scientists are giving very, contrary explanations for the existence of the universe. Why do they do that? Because they don't want to follow authority. They want to justify sense gratification. So they come out with philosophies which will make them very peaceful while they're engaging in sense gratification. Because the moment they give some justification that there is God, then immediately what comes is the rules of God. But no one wants to obey the rules of God. So then what happens is, there's a guilt feeling. Oh, I'm disobeying laws, God's laws and things like that. So they come out with some philosophies to justify there. Because there's no reason why a person should enjoy in this world. Because everything belongs to Krishna. Isha vasyam idam sarvam yat kinchit jagatyam jagat. Everything belongs to Krishna. So if we are actually trying to be enjoyers here, we are actually thieves. To avoid the consciousness of being a thief, to avoid the guilt feeling, people churn out. It's a very fertile ground for new philosophies of atheism. Where there's no God, you can do whatever you want, things like that. So, keeping this in mind, the transcendentalists are very careful to see that whatever they do it consciously, and they do it with the feeling that, yes, I am being watched. And therefore, at every instant, they are careful not to break the laws of religious principles. Like, there is a story of a boy who was told by his teacher. In fact, all the students were told, you take these mangoes and go eat it in a place where there's no one to observe you. So all the students, they go, they find some place under a tree, under the bed, secret place in the toilet, and etc., etc. So one boy, he comes and he says, Guru Maharaj, I couldn't find a place where there's no one. So I said, why? He said, because everywhere I go, there is a Lord. So the Guru told him, yes, you have understood the essence. The Lord is present everywhere. So this is the difference. That's what makes the difference when it comes to spiritual life, that everything is internal. That's why we see in the spiritual life, there's a lot of emphasis on internalizing the process, not just superficial following of rituals or rules and regulations. Whereas you find in the material world, everything is just the opposite. You are given training how to appear for interviews, you know, how you should prepare yourself, how you should speak, and how you should dress, etc., etc., with no concern as to what you are as a person. So you can, you know, prepare for anything and get into anything, any job, etc., whatever. You're not asked, you know, what is your personality, what are your qualities. There's no mention about character, only competence. But in spiritual life, Krishna is just saying the opposite. He does not want externals, he wants internal. Yesterday, a devotee was giving a nice example that every conditioned soul is like a pencil. How a pencil? Because anything it does, anything we do, it leaves a mark. It is recorded. We are being observed. Secondly, there is scope for being erased. You can correct what we do. Thirdly, is that we should be willing to be guided by the hand that holds us. That means to surrender to a personality who is an authority, who can guide us on the right path, who can actually get something worthwhile out of us. Fourthly, what is important is not what is outside, but what is inside. And fifthly, the hand that holds us many times will also have to sharpen us. And that is very painful. But we must surrender to that process of sharpening so that we can do this service of the Lord in a much better fashion. This is the difference. There is a lot of emphasis on internalization and not just superficially following. Because if you see, the Mayavadis are far better than the devotees in terms of following rules and regulations. No one can beat them. I was told that by one devotee that there was an organization, spiritual organization, and when the devotees and the members of that organization, they go to give a lecture, in advance they say that all the women should go backside. Very strict. And then when they complain that, what is this, you know, how can that be possible? You are making differentiation, there's no equality, nothing doing. This is our way we function. If you want us to come and speak, this is what it is. Very strict, all the principles. So when it comes to comparing the rules and regulations that the Mayavadis follow, there's no comparison. But still, Krishna appreciates devotees. Why? Because the desire, the internal consciousness of a devotee is to reach Krishna's servitude. But for a Mayavadi, it's just to become Krishna. So that is the difference. So even though externally they're following all the rules and regulations, it's not so much appreciated. So there is a story in this regard of one of the disciples of Parashar Bhatta. And he took sannyas. So Anant Alvan, he told this disciple of Parashar Bhatta, that why have you made the process of devotional service so complex? He said, complex? Why? I mean, why? What do you mean? So he said, devotional service is very easy. It's like eating food when you're hungry, and it's like taking a bath when you sweat. It's that easy. It's like eating food when you're hungry, and it's like taking a bath when you sweat. So he said, what do you mean? Please explain. He said, look, your Guru Maharaj, Parashar Bhatta, is a grahastha. And you have taken sannyas. How is it possible for a grahastha to take service from a sannyasi? Why have you unnecessarily accepted this formality of taking sannyas when you know that your Guru Maharaj is a grahastha? So he thought about it, he pondered over it, and he said, yes, this could be a problem. But then he vowed, he pledged, he said that if my taking sannyas is causing hindrance in me serving my spiritual master, I'm ready to give it up. Because bhakti is just to satisfy the spiritual master. It's very simple. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya aprasadat nagati kutopi. That if the spiritual master is displeased, then everything is spoiled, no matter how many qualifications we may get. But if the spiritual master is pleased, then everything is accomplished. So therefore, we can see that in our own personal life, that how much things are external and how much things are internal. Like in my personal experience, I was just analyzing. I found myself always coming on time for Mangal Arati. Not always, sometimes I miss. But during Brahmachari class, I'm most of the time late. So I was just analyzing why. Because there's a tendency to do things because it's going on record on a very gross level where we are being observed what we are doing. Because when you're late, we get a P, which is very bad. We don't get, recognition of being good sadhaka. But because in Brahmachari class there's no attendance, I tend to, relax, go easy, no problem. So the thing is, when I saw in my own consciousness, I realized that actually this is duplicitous behavior. Where one does things for the sake of getting recognition or social image or being a good devotee, etc., etc. So this is, we also observe that how chanting is when we are doing it alone and when you're doing it in the association of devotees. Invariably, when you're doing it alone, generally we are dozing off, or we see that we are pondering over all different things or spacing out and things like that. But when we are in the association of devotees, then there's a lot of intensity and a lot of fervor in the chanting. This goes to show that certainly there is in the conditioned state the tendency to do things. Why? Because we are being appreciated and recognized for what we are doing. Because it's something very tangible. Because we have a tendency to be fruitive in material life, when we come to the spiritual life, we carry that tendency along and tend to do things which apparently give appreciation and recognition, and do only those things and avoid the internalization of the process. So that is an important principle to remember, that the internalization of the process is very important. As it was mentioned that the Yamadutas came 3 in number, because Ajamil had committed sins on the basis of the body, by his body, mind and words. So Ajamil had committed adultery on the platform of the mind, and therefore there was a Yamaduta specifically to punish him on that basis. Which goes to show that what is in our mind has also been calculated. Someone was saying, modern people, they don't believe when we discuss these things of Yamadutas and all those. They say, we don't believe in Yamadutas. I presume Srila Prabhupada was once asked this question, that you don't believe in Yamadutas. And he said that if you don't believe in Yamadutas, then you wait till you see him. You will see him, pratyaksha. To see God, you need faith. To not to see Yamadutas, what you need is faithlessness. That is qualification to see Yamadutas. A faithless person can never chant the names of God. So, Srila Prabhupada was once asked that you all are doing so much austerities. What if at the end of all these things, you don't smoke, you don't engage in all illicit activities, all those which are pleasurable to the world, what if at the end you discover that there is no Krishna, there is no God? What will happen? So Prabhupada said, so what? We are enjoying life. We are having a good time. And at the end, if Krishna is not there, so what? We have enjoyed life. But look at you, you are so miserable. And after being so much miserable in life, if you come to know that Krishna exists indeed, then what will happen to you? You have to account for all your sins. You will be punished severely. So that way, when a devotee realizes that the Lord is always watching them, they are very careful. So the modern philosophy is, it is predicted by Lord Krishna 5,000 years ago, Asatyam aparishtam te jagat ahu ranishwaram aparaspara shambhutam kim anyat kama haitukam. That the world is coming, which is unreal, world is unreal. It has no foundation. It is only coming because of the desire for sense gratification. That is the source of the illusion that we see around us. So Krishna, 5,000 years ago, he's predicting what will be the philosophy of the demoniac civilization. So here in the purport, in the translation, the messengers are called as the order carriers of Dharmaraj, the upholders of religious principles. But actually, they are on the side of Adharma. We see that. When the Vishnu Dutas chastise them, they call with loud voices, they proclaim, stop, stop, you are not supposed to carry this soul. So it is like the Vishnu Dutas are chastising the Yamadutas for engaging in irreligious activity. Because of the Yamadutas are surprised that they are being checked. Because you are not aware, as it is said, Varayam Asu Ojasa, in the previous verse it was said, that they were forbidden by resounding voices. They are being chastised, they are checked. And by hearing this, they are really surprised that what is happening. Before, we have never been checked by the Vishnu Dutas or by anyone. Why are we being checked at this point of time? They are surprised. So why are they surprised? Because they did not know what are the religious principles. Because they were ignorant of the religious principles. We see as the section goes on, the Yamadutas, they tell the history of Ajamil. This chapter is titled History of Ajamil. So when the Vishnu Duta asks him, what are the religious principles? You are the carriers of Dharma, orders of Yamaraj, what are the religious principles? So the Yamadutas, they start speaking. They say, yes, those who are the followers of the Vedas, they are the followers of religion. It is not possible for people to be without activity because they are driven by the modes of nature. People work in goodness, passion and ignorance, but they cannot avoid activity, etc. And they speak religious principles. And then they go on to narrate the history of Ajamil, that how he was such a pious person. In the beginning he was a Brahmin, following all religious principles, Shruti Sampanna, and he was having Guna Shila, and he was having all those wonderful qualities of being sense-controlled. And after that, he fell down from a standard, he ran away with a prostitute, engaging in all illicit activities, and etc., etc. So he was narrating all the sinful activities, a huge list of sinful activities, and then he was told, and then he was telling that, therefore, they need to be chastised. He needs to be taken to Yamaraj. But then Vishnu Dutas say, no, that is not true. You do not know the glories of the holy name. Vishnu Dutas then, they give a seminar on the importance of the holy name to the Yamadutas. And the Yamaduta had never known the glories of the holy name before. So when he was told that how the Lord is so merciful, that how even when one takes the holy names of the Lord out of joking or out of any such kind of, you know, out of when in pain or anything such thing, still the Lord actually comes to the rescue of such a person. Why? Because it is said, Vishnudas are explaining, because it is the Lord's mercy. The Lord, from his point of view, he thinks that this person has called out to me for help, for protection. It is my duty to think, to give protection to this soul who is calling out my name. So that is the nature of the Lord, that he is so compassionate. Of course, that does not mean that we should think that the Lord is so merciful, so I can somehow continue with my sinful activities and then beg for the mercy of the Lord. No, from our point of view, it is expected that we follow rules and regulations properly and then expect the mercy of the Lord. So this aspect of the Lord was not known to the Yamadutas, and therefore they were engaged in irreligious activity. They were thinking Vishnu Dutas are stopping them and engaging in religious activity, but they were actually engaging in irreligious activity. They were thinking that the Vishnu Dutas are entering into their jurisdiction and overruling their authority, but actually they were overruling the Vishnu Dutas' authority, because they didn't know that actually above the Yamaraj is Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayan. So this is their folly, that they didn't know the mercy of the Lord. So we can see that also in Dhruva Maharaj's pastime. The Dhruva Maharaj performed tapasya for 6 months. And in 6 months' time, despite doing all the austerities with the material desire in his heart of getting a kingdom greater than his great-grandfather, still the Lord appeared. So the question arises that how come the Lord appeared pratyaksha in front of Dhruva Maharaj? Why was he obliged to come when he had such material desires in his heart? So Srila Prabhupada mentions there, because it is the nature of the Lord to actually be very grateful for any service rendered by his devotee. He remembers, oh, this person has done this service. So he's very grateful. And secondly, the Lord is all merciful. You cannot put a question as to why. If the Lord wants to be merciful, no one can stop him. So these two aspects of the Lord's being grateful and the Lord being merciful was not known to Yamdutas. So therefore, they are very much surprised and shocked. And another thing, when we read this pastime, you know, we can get a lot of hope that the Lord never makes a mistake. The Lord never makes a mistake. Many times, you know, we see that here the Yamadutas are making a mistake, but we can be sure the Lord never makes a mistake. When we surrender to the Lord, we can be assured of protection because his name is Achyuta, never fails in protecting his devotee. The Vishnu Dutas, without fail, they reach there when he once offensively chants the holy names. So in this world, we see people taking shelter of so many people. Especially we see that when someone goes to the hospital and gets admitted, how much faith they put on the doctors. They surrender. Do whatever you want. Cut me. Do whatever. Take me to a room. Conduct operation. We have full faith. And they give money also. Take money. Conduct the operation. So much faith they put. And we hear that despite putting so much faith, doctors are known to make mistakes. It is said in Britain, 40,000 people die due to mistakes done by doctors. And in America, 1 lakh people die per year due to mistakes done by doctors. 1 lakh. Still, nevertheless, seeing they somehow have faith that this time doctors will be successful. I will not be the exception. And they put faith. So this gives us impetus to surrender to the Lord in any situation, and the Lord will protect us. There's no doubt about it. Just like Madhavendra Puri Prabhu was saying, a very interesting saying, which is parallel to what we are discussing, that when the Lord guides us or leads us to the edge of a mountain, to the cliff, and tells us to jump, we should have faith. Because if we jump, two things will happen. Either if we are falling, God will catch us, or he will teach us how to fly. So very interested. So that complete faith that the Lord will never make a mistake. We'll never make a mistake. And when we have that faith, then comes the ecstasy of devotional service. Many times we feel that we can actually perform devotional service and we can become pure devotees. And we actually lack faith so much on the mercy aspect of the Lord. That's one other extreme. So actually, that is not very good principle. Just like if a person is not having so much faith that he is on the right track, then he will always be hesitant. Am I on the right path? Am I driving properly? Should I take a left turn, right turn? And always his speed will be very slow. It will go very slow. But the moment he's convinced that this is the right path, even if I make a mistake, somehow I will get a left turn or a right turn or something, then he goes at full speed. He reaches his destination. So when there is faith, that even though I may make a mistake, no problem, Krishna will protect me. I will be ensured protection by Krishna, no problem. So with that faith, he can go on. Otherwise, a person, when he's always conscious that what if I make a mistake, I should be very careful. So his progress will also be very slow. You know, as there is a saying in English, those who are overcautious, they accomplish little. But when you have faith on the mercy of the Lord, then actually you become very carefree. So we see that how that the Vishnu Dutas were actually not transgressing on Yamdutas' authority, but actually they were transgressing the authority of the Lord Narayan, Vishnu Dutas. Now we see in the Shastra there are so many such examples where the Lord actually proved his superiority, his independence, when he actually transgressed the authority of the demigods. We see that how when his teacher, Sandipani Muni, requested him for benediction, for Guru Dakshina, Krishna and Balaram, they go to Ujjain, and there they meet Sandipani Muni and take instruction of learning all the 64 Kalas and all the Vedas, Brahma Sutras. And they were given all the knowledge. In 64 days, they learned all the 64 arts. After that, when they got graduation, they asked Sandipani Muni for anything that they could do for him as the Guru Dakshina. So Sandipani Muni, he goes to his wife and he asks, consults with her, and they consider these two lordships' exalted position. They think that these two are not ordinary souls. We should ask something very great. So Sandipani Muni comes to them and says that, I want my lost son, who died at Prabhashetra, the pilgrimage place of Lord Shiva. So Krishna and Balaram immediately, they go to Prabhas. And at Prabhas, Krishna tells Balaram, you please stand here. And he summons the ocean god. And the ocean god appears. And he asks Krishna, yes, what can I do for you? He says, I want the son of my teacher. Your mighty waves have swallowed my teacher's son, so I want him back. So the ocean says that actually I have not taken your teacher's son. It is actually a demon who is living within the ocean, whose name is Panchajanya, living in the form of a conch. He has taken your teacher's son. You can go to him. So immediately Krishna jumps into the ocean, goes into the bottom of the ocean, and he traces out this demon, kills that demon, but he couldn't find his teacher's son. And then he comes out, and then he goes to the abode of Yamaraj. And then it is said here, Tadangam prabhavam shankam adaya rathamagamat tatha samyamanim nama yamasvadayitam purim gatva janardana shankam pradad mausa halayudaha shankam niradam akarnam praja samyamano yamaha tayo saparyam mahatim chakre bhaktyupabritim uvacha vannata krishnam sarva bhutash shayalayam Leela Manushya Yor Vishnu Yuya Yokaravamakim. So here it is said that when Krishna, he approached the place, he blew his Panchajanya, which he received from that demon. And as soon as he blew it, what happened was that Yamaraj immediately comes there. And he comes and he starts worshipping Lord Krishna with great devotion. And he asks Krishna that, what do you want? How can I serve you? And he says, I want the son of my teacher. And immediately, Yamaraj gives the son back to him. And he takes the son, comes back to his teacher. And in this purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes the Skanda Puran, and he says that what happened when he blew the shank? Asi patravanam nama shirna patramajayata rauravam nama narakam arauram abhutta asi patravanam nama. A hell known as Asipatra, where the trees, they have very blade-like thorns, which cuts, where the souls are put and they're dragged from the top, where the bodies are cut when they're pulled down. So such a place, it's a hell named as Asipatra, Shirna Patram Ajayataha. All the leaves fell down when Krishna blew the conch. There was no thorns left in that hell. Rauravam Nama Narakam Arauram Abhuttada. Rauravam nama narakam, in the hell known as Rauravam, where there are very ferocious beasts which eat up the living entities going to that place, all the Rauravas, they go out from that place. Becomes empty. There are no more Rauravas in a planet called as Rauravam. And Abhiravam Bhairavakhyam Kumbhipakam Apachakam. So in a place where Kumbhipak, where people are supposed to be boiled, all the people stop boiling. All the cooking stops in that place. No more cooking there. And what happens? पापक्षयात् तथा सर्वे विमुक्ता नारका नरः पदम अव्ययम आसाद्य दे ऑल बिकम लिबरेटेड पापक्षयात् तथा सर्वे ऑल द सिंस ऑफ दैट पीपल ओवर देयर इन द हेल दे बिकम फिनिश्ड एंड विमुक्ता नरका नरः एंड ऑल दोस पीपल इन द हेल दे बिकम फ्रीड एंड पदम अव्ययम आसाद्य दे ऑल प्रोग्रेस टुवर्ड्स स्पिरिचुअल अबोड. So we see from this pastime that how the Lord shows from his examples that how he is the supreme authority and he is actually the supreme controller of everything. And thus when we have this faith that the Lord's mercy and compassion is all pervading, then we can be very much more enthusiastic in our devotional service and much more depend on the mercy of the Lord. Thank you very much. I'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki jai, Gaur Premanandi.